This is Vermont Viewpoint on WDEV. Ooh, George. Saturday mornings for the kids in my neighborhood was magic time. If we weren't together watching cartoons at someone's house, we'd get together around noon and talk about that morning's cartoon episodes. We'd usually decide before the new season started in September which network's lineup we thought would be the best, and then we'd watch their offerings all season long. We went from Bugs Bunny to Johnny Quest to Wacky Races to H.R. Puffin Stuff and on. So why is this the discussion today? Well, next week, author Marty Gitlin will be conducting another fun Zoom event for the Waterbury Public Library on the subject. He joins us now. Marty, welcome back to Vermont Viewpoint.
Oh, hey, thanks for the invitation. I appreciate it. It's going to be fun.
I knew it would be. Marty is the author of A Celebration of Animation, the 100 Greatest Cartoon Characters of All Time. And listeners, to ask Marty about a cartoon favorite of yours, you can call us at 802-244-1777, 877-291-8255. You can email us your favorite, vtviewpoint@radiovermont.com. Marty, how much of a fan of cartoons were you growing up?
Well, you know, it's funny. I used to like to sleep in on the weekends generally, but on Saturday mornings, 8 in the morning, I had my big bowl of cereal in front of me. I actually wrote a book about cereals as well that was out a while back called The Great American Cereal Book. But anyway, I had a big bowl of cereal in front of me, and I watched 4 hours of cartoons.
Yeah.
8 to noon, 2 hours of Warner Brothers. And there was some Hanna-Barbera and Woody Woodpecker, you know, whatever it was.
Yeah.
I was in front of that TV watching, and it was just, it was magic for me. And, you know, I had my brother and sisters watching, some of the theme songs would annoy my mother in the kitchen, but, who cares?
It gave your parents a break from us for all morning long on a Saturday.
Yeah, I know. Well, she didn't I don't know what it was, but there was the Rocky and Bullwinkle theme. For whatever reason, and I remember this was 50 years ago or more, used to annoy her. And I don't know why. I thought it was, okay, but the theme song from Rocky and Bullwinkle bugged her for whatever reason.
So what was your era? About when to when were you sitting there with that big bowl of cereal for 4 hours of, constant cartoons?
Well, I would say almost throughout the 60s. I even remember a show called Beanie and Cecil.
Oh yeah,
which was out, in the late 50s. I mean, I wasn't watching in the late 50s, but
right.
There were reruns of it, of course. And I would say from about 1962 to about 1968-69, I was watching cartoons in the morning until I was about 13 years old or so, and then I had some other activities. And and then when I was older, and had my two daughters in the late 90s and early 2000s, I watched a lot of cartoons with them as they were growing up on Nickelodeon and Cartoon Network, and I got really into some of the cartoons that were modern at that time.
Yep.
And so that was what really kind of spurred me on to think about writing a book actually ranking the greatest cartoon characters of all time, which is what my program is based on.
Yeah. Now, let's not forget Beanie and Cecil. Beanie was the kid who wore a little beanie, and Cecil, was he like Nessie? Was he a
he was a serpent.
Lake
he was a
serpent.
Sea serpent.
Yeah,
yeah,
sea serpent.
And
yeah.
And I had the beanie.
Right.
They came out with these beanie beanies, and you spun the propeller around, and
that's
it flew
correct.
Off your head.
That's
and
correct.
I had that. Now, one of my earliest memories. I was like 6 years old, 5 years old, whatever. And I used to have the beanie.
Yeah.
But and it was a very punny cartoon. There were a lot of puns in that cartoon, and I like that. And even to this day, I'm a very punny person, and kind of drives my family crazy. But I always do, utter a lot of puns when I have a chance.
Dad jokes, they're called now. Now, Marty, do you remember when the networks would run a special? I think it was like on a Friday night, and they would preview what their Saturday morning lineup was going to be for the next year.
Yeah, I mean, well, they would do, you know, they would do that with all kinds of programming. But yes, I do remember that, and I watched with great interest because you know, it changed year to year, or even within a year, it would change sometimes. And I was watching with great interest. But one thing I always knew was that on one, and I don't remember which channel was which, if it was CBS or NBC, ABC, which one was showing which, but I do remember that there was always going to be 2 hours of Warner Brothers because that was the most popular.
Right.
And, you know, and I knew that there was going to be like 4 hours straight of cartoons on the one network, not necessarily other networks, but that one network is the one I always tuned into to watch, you know, 4 hours of cartoons. And I knew 2 hours was going to be Warner Brothers. And I knew there was going to be some Hanna-Barbera as well, which interested me too.
Yeah, Warner Brothers was Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck. Who else was in there? Porky Pig, they were all.
Oh yeah,
Foghorn
Leghorn, all the good ones, all the wonderful cartoon characters, and yeah, it was just, it was genius. Really, the animation was genius, and the writing was wonderful, and everything about it was really the peak, I think, of cartooning. And the best was Warner Brothers, and I always preferred Warner Brothers to Disney.
Yep. Now, Ed writes in, I always loved Tennessee Tuxedo and Fractured Fairy Tales. Now, Tennessee Tuxedo had his sidekick was Chumley, the walrus.
Chumley the walrus,
right?
Yes.
Don,
very good.
Don Adams and Ed Everett Horton, those were the voices. So much fun, says.
Yeah, Don Adams, who was Agent 86 in
Get
Smart, was Tennessee Tuxedo, and he played that wonderfully. And they actually had some lessons for kids, which was rare back then because usually it was just completely entertainment. But they had this board where this guy would and boy, I'm having a senior moment.
That's all right.
I forgot his name. And he would show, give kind of lessons to kids about whatever and during Tennessee Tuxedo and his tales. And, of course, Fractured Fairy Tales was not part of Tennessee Tuxedo. That was part of the whole Rocky and Bullwinkle realm.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, and I don't mean to yak so much, but it's interesting because in my book, The Greatest Cartoon Characters of All Time, it's called A Celebration of Animation, the 100 Greatest Cartoon Characters in Television History. But anyway, in that book, I have five Bullwinkle-related cartoon characters that made our top 100, which shows how great that those cartoons were. I have a Bullwinkle, and I have a Snidely Whiplash, and Dudley Do-Right, and the Boris and Natasha, and Peabody. All made the book.
Mr. Peabody.
All in my top 100.
Not so, Sherman, but just Mr. Peabody?
Right. Well, yes. In certain cases, when I had in the book a team of characters like Alvin and the Chipmunks. I do have Alvin in the book, but I don't have Simon and Theodore. Ooh. If one character stood out over the other one significantly, then we just included that one. Like Bullwinkle we have, but not Rocky.
Interesting.
But on the other hand, if the
flying squirrel
characters
pissed.
Were all really strong, we have them together. We have Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner together as an entry.
Yeah.
We have Ren and Stimpy together as
of
an
course.
Entry. We have the Powerpuff Girls together as an entry. So, you know, that's the way we did it. But if one character stood out significantly over the other, then we have, you know, that's why we have Peabody but not Sherman.
Love it.
But we mention those characters in the entry, but we just don't, they're just not the entry.
Gotcha. Okay, let's go to Randolph Center. Mary's joining us. Hi, Mary. What do you got?
Good morning, Rick. What a fun subject.
I know.
We just talked about a couple of my favorites, Mr. Peabody and Sherman, of course, Boris and Natasha.
Mm-hmm.
But I also loved Mighty Mouse.
Yes, Mighty Mouse.
Love that.
Save the day.
Heckle and Jekyll.
Yep.
That was another favorite.
Those were both Terry Toons.
Yes,
by
they
the way.
Were.
Terry Toons characters.
Mm-hmm. And stay with us, Mary, but we also heard from DJ Deputy Dog. Mighty Mouse, those were Terry Toons. Loved Johnny Quest. He said, after watching Saturday mornings, I would don my Monkey Division plastic military apparel and play combat all day in the woods with friends. I remember that, doing that too. Ah, the 60s. Mary, who else do you love?
Huckleberry Hound.
Oh, yeah.
Huckleberry Hound.
I have a story about Huckleberry Hound you might enjoy, Mary, and you might not actually enjoy it when I tell you what happened. I was at a Comic-Con in Philadelphia selling my book, and a guy comes up to me with his wallet out, and he said, "Where do you have Huckleberry Hound ranked in your top 100?" Well, I said, "Well, we don't. He didn't quite make the book. He was, you know, top 100. It's really great, and he didn't quite make it." And he took his wallet, put it back in his pocket, and he said, "You have lost all credibility with me." And he walked away.
Marty.
But I liked Huckleberry Hound too, just not quite enough to make the book. That's awesome stuff. I'm a big Hanna-Barbera guy. My favorite Hanna-Barbera character happened to be Megilla Gorilla.
Oh yeah.
I love Megilla Gorilla.
Yeah.
But I'm so glad you
down
called.
At Peebles, down at Peebles Pet Shop. All right. Thanks, Mary. Let's try to get one more in before the break. Let's go to Cindy. Hi, Cindy.
Hi. Hello. Will you jog my memory a bit here?
That's what we're doing.
Hi. Well, Casper the Friendly Ghost.
Oh, of course.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
And Papa the Sailor
and Papa,
Man.
Yeah.
Papa, Casper had that was Felix the Cat. No, I'm getting him confused now. Casper the Friendly Ghost, sure, that was a wonderful cartoon and very popular, and I remember it being shown on Saturday mornings.
Yeah, and Popeye.
Popeye, of course, yeah.
Yeah,
Popeye actually have ranked number 11 in the greatest cartoon characters of all time, and if you do tune in to the library program that I will be doing, I do show a Popeye cartoon.
Oh, fantastic.
I show a snippet from a Popeye cartoon where he is a window washer along with Bluto. They are competing window washers, and it's a really, really fun snippet from that cartoon.
Bluto early on and then Brutus later on. I still to this day, Marty, think that if I eat spinach, every time I eat spinach, I'm going to get massive muscles. All right.
Popeye does eat spinach in the one I show.
Good.
Which he does in most of his cartoons.
Yeah. Marty, how do these things stick in my mind? But as soon as I hear the Underdog song, I think of his girlfriend, Sweet Polly Purebred. And the guy he fought was Simon Bar Sinister, right?
Right, and Riff Raff.
Oh, and Riff Raff. Oh, right.
Yeah, Riff that's right. Raff.
All right, let me read
Those
a few
great,
more.
Great names, great, great, great bad guys.
Absolutely. All right, so Ed followed up, and he said that Tennessee Tuxedo would get his lessons on the 3D chalkboard from Phineas J. Whoopi, which
right.
is correct.
Phineas J. Whoopi, there you go. There you go. I can't believe I didn't remember that.
Yeah.
Yes, it was he would unfold it. And
yes.
And then he would give lessons to kids,
That's
and it was
right.
very rare for that time because there was no PBS yet, there was no kids programming to learn things like that.
And we didn't have
so that was kind of a nice thing for kids.
We didn't have Schoolhouse Rock yet either, which came a little
later. No, we sure didn't.
Which was pretty cool. And then Pam writes in, loved all the Bullwinkle cartoons, Sherman and Peabody, Fractured Fairy Tales. Lots of the jokes went over my head then, but she still watches them on DVD. Now, I'm going to throw one out here from that group. That was the Jay Ward cartoons, Rocky and Bullwinkle and Dudley Do-Right, Commander McBragg. But my favorite of all time did not make your list, but I'd still buy the book because it wouldn't make anybody's list. But my favorite, I don't know if you even remember, Hoppity Hooper.
Hoppity Hooper, yeah, I remember Hoppity Hooper, sure.
Little frog.
And
then he had his buddies.
And there was another cartoon that was very similar to the Rocky and Bullwinkle, but not made by the same people, called Roger Ramjet.
Oh, yes, there we go. I want to give you.
He was great. Roger Ramjet was great, and there was wonderful criminals, villains in that one as well. And
I do want to give you props, Marty, for putting Roger Ramjet on your top 100. He's in your book, often overlooked, but I had a Roger Ramjet coloring book as a kid.
Oh, no kidding.
Yes, indeed. Loved Roger Ramjet. So kudos to you. Do want to tell you Hoppity Hooper's sidekicks were Uncle Waldo and Fillmore. Fillmore played a
There you go.
Right?
I'll tell you something about Roger Ramjet.
Yeah.
And this guy didn't make the book, obviously, but it was the best villain name, I think, in cartoon history, was Roger Ramjet, the villain. was Noodles Romanoff.
Yes.
And I think that is the absolute best criminal I've ever, crook, villain, whatever, I've ever heard of in a cartoon.
Snidely
Whiplash is a close second.
It is a good one, yep.
Snidely Whiplash. Noodles Romanoff is the greatest. I just love that name.
I love that. Well done. Now, I'll talk a little bit more about some of these. You know, you've mentioned Warner Brothers, which are the Looney Tunes, Jay Ward cartoons, the Hanna-Barbera's. But then there were always these kind of oddball ones that would show up. And I don't know from whence they came, but things like Clutch Cargo and Tobar the Eighth Man, Astro Boy, and let's play a theme song of another great one. Danny, hit it.
He's a demon on wheels. He's a demon and he's gonna be chasing after someone.
Yeah. That was Speed Racer. So there was Speed, there was Spritel and Chim Chim and Trixie.
But
the character from that cartoon that made your book was which one? Racer X.
Racer X, yeah. Yeah, Racer X made the book. My co-author, and I should give a shout-out to him. My co-author's name is Joe Wos, W-O-S. He's from Pittsburgh. And he is the resident – he's one of the foremost experts on cartoon characters in the country, actually. He's the resident cartoonist for the Charles Schulz Museum in Santa Rosa, California.
Oh, that's some props right
and he
there.
Wrote all the entries of the serious cartoon characters or – superheroes. I grew up just watching and really enjoying and becoming an expert on the funny cartoon characters.
Gotcha.
Whatever they were. Even from the 90s, you know, with my kids and all. And so I didn't really watch some of the more serious cartoon characters for whatever reasons, cartoons, including Speed Racer. I was not a big fan. And but unfortunately we had, you know, Joe Wos to handle all the entries to those, because he's a foremost expert on all cartoon characters and including all those superheroes and everything.
Well, I'll give you a little background. So Speed, I think it was Japanese anime, probably some of the first that we saw over
Astro
here.
Astro Boy, yeah. Astro Boy.
Yeah, it was a great one. And Racer X was this guy who was always kind of in the background. He would be in the races, and he would always find a way to help Speed. And it was – I think there was always this kind of secret that it was his brother, you know, that Pops knew, but nobody else really knew that there was some connection, connection from between Racer X and Speed Racer. Always made it very mysterious.
Yes, yes. And I like the, you know, the genre was kind of, I mean, the, you know, the whole racing thing was wonderful. And the what I really enjoyed, and I think you had mentioned it earlier, was Wacky Races. And I just adored Wacky Races because it was different. It was really, unique, and there were a lot of different characters in there. And my favorites, of course, and the one that made the book, actually, of the Wacky Races was Dick Dastardly.
And his dog.
Yeah, Dick Dastardly and Muttley. Who they actually branched out and had their own show.
Yeah.
But I just adored Wacky Races. I thought it was wonderful, and it was really during a time that I had, you know, was getting a little bit older, and I wasn't watching quite as many cartoons. I was 13, 14 years old, but I always tuned into Wacky Races because I thought that was really a lot of fun.
Because you never knew who was going to win. You would root. I rooted for the Slag Brothers, every week.
Slag Brothers, that's right.
The caveman.
Prehistoric duo. Well, of course, you knew that Dick Dastardly wasn't going to win.
That's right.
That was the one guy that would never win because he was too busy and you know, all he had to do really was keep racing and he might have won. But even if he was ahead, he would try to slow the other ones down
I'm pretty sure Penelope Pitstop won most of the races. She was quite popular, Penelope Pitstop.
Right. Well, she always she actually got the help of Peter Perfect.
Yeah, Peter Perfect,
who was,
right.
He had the hots for Penelope Pitstop.
Yes, so he did.
He helped her sometimes to his own detriment.
That's correct. Oh, man, I forgot about Peter Perfect. I knew there was some foil to Penelope Pitstop. But Muttley was an outstanding sidekick to Dick Dastardly. As a matter of fact, Dick Dastardly was so bad that sometimes wouldn't Muttley – kind of do things against Dick Dastardly.
Yeah, he would, down. And then he would do that Muttley laugh.
Yeah,
that chuckle, you know.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, great stuff. The Slag Brothers. How do you like that? Boy, I haven't even thought about that.
I was probably the only Slag Brothers fan of the day.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting choice.
Yeah.
You know, I liked what was his? Oh, I liked the Anthill Mob.
Oh, the Anthill Mob.
The gangsters. You know, they had the like 6-7 gangsters in that one little car, and the tiny little guys. But I liked them. I don't know why. Maybe I had some criminal instincts or something in me.
Could
but
be.
But and there was a hillbilly.
Yeah, the Arkansas
Lazy
Haymaker
and,
or something.
Yeah,
or?
Lazy Luke, and they were in a car called the. The Arkansas Chugabug.
Chugabug, that's what it was.
And he had a bear with him, the Blubber Bear, and I like those guys too. But great stuff. Yeah, Wacky Races was wonderful.
It was indeed. All right, we're going to take a break for a CBS News update. I've got some more emails to read for you. We'll be back to spend more time speaking with author Marty Gitlin about some of his favorite cartoon characters. You can get in the call queue now to share yours. Our numbers are 802-244-1777 or 877-291-8255. A lot of emails this morning at vtviewpoint@radiovermont.com. And coming up this morning at 11 o'clock on WDEV, it's Common Sense Radio with Bill Sayre. This is Vermont Viewpoint on WDEV.
Warren Village is a picture-perfect snow globe this time of year. We invite you to visit us at the almost world-famous Warren store. Come for breakfast, lunch, or après-ski. Have a signature deli sandwich, a hearty soup, or a specialty coffee drink paired with a sweet treat from our incredible bakery. Upstairs is a cornucopia of delightful and unique finds from men's, women's, and children's clothing to gifts, toys, games, jewelry, hats, gloves, and scarves. Best one-stop shopping in Vermont, according to Yankee Magazine. Fun, funky, safe, and friendly. Warren Store, Main Street, Warren Village, and warrenstore.com.
This is Vermont Viewpoint on WDEV. Maybe it's in my blood. My Uncle Bill did backgrounds for Terry Tunes back in the 60s. You're hearing the Mighty Mouse theme song. He did Heckle and Jekyll, Tom Terrific, The Mighty Heroes, Hector Heathcote, Deputy Dog. But I've always loved cartoons. And then even as I grew up, I watched Rugrats, Doug, Rocco's Modern Life, The Simpsons, The Real Monsters, and Rick and Morty is one I love now. Marty Gitlin is the author of A Celebration of Animation, the 100 Greatest Cartoon Characters of All Time. He's sharing cartoon fun with us until 11. And if you've got questions for Marty or you want to share a favorite, 802-244-1777, 877-291-8255. Marty, the Mighty Mouse was so different because of the operatic nature. It was sung, wasn't it, completely?
The thing with Mighty Mouse, and the talk about opera, and I don't mean to digress too much, but I've had a lot of people tell me that their first experience with classical music was watching Bugs Bunny cartoons.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, you can see it, you can hear it in a lot of Bugs Bunny cartoons. And in fact, there was a cartoon called What's Opera, Doc? That won an Academy Award that was, you know, based. And there was another one, The Rabbit of Seville, which happens to be one of my very favorite Bugs Bunny cartoons, had a classical music thing going. Mm-hmm. But Mighty Mouse, yes, you're absolutely right. And, you know, I was when I was a child, I had a problem with Mighty Mouse. And in fact, in the cat and mouse cartoons that I used to watch, I used to root for the cat a lot of cases. But because
Tom
they
and
never
Jerry,
won.
I did, yeah.
And the thing with Mighty Mouse that bothered me was a lot of the themes seemed to be the same. The Mighty Mouse, the cats would the mice would be bugging the cat, and then the cat would fight back, and the Mighty Mouse would come and beat the hell out of the cat, and it didn't seem fair to me. There were a couple cartoons that you might not remember, or you might remember that the cat won on occasion. One was a hillbilly, it was a Hanna-Barbera cartoon. It was a hillbilly cartoon with hillbilly cat and mouse called Punkin' Puss and Mush Mouse.
Oh, yeah, right.
The cat, Punkin' Puss, often won. And there was another one that was a Hanna-Barbera called Pixie and Dixie and Jinx.
Oh, yeah. Cat. That's right.
And Jinx would sometimes win. Not often, but he would sometimes win at the end. And those were, you know, cartoons that I liked the best because I did want the cat to win, at least on occasion.
And then there was, Marty, there was
Mighty
one
Mouse,
where...
You know, the cat, that when there was a cat in Mighty Mouse, the cat would never win. And I didn't like that very much.
There was one where they fought together, Courageous Cat and Minute Mouse, if you remember that one.
Oh, my Lord, I haven't thought about that in a long time.
I know, I love their vehicle.
That's interesting. Yeah, I had completely forgot. If you hadn't brought that up, I would have never thought of that one again.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Montpelier we go for Kathy. Hi, Kathy, what's up?
Good morning.
Morning.
Great show. It's
Thanks.
Bringing back a lot of memories for me. But two that you haven't mentioned that weren't Saturday morning were actually in prime time when I was a teenager.
Uh-huh.
And those were the Flintstones and the Jetsons.
Yes.
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. I do, and I do show a Flintstones snippet in my program that I'm going to be doing next week. I'm doing so many programs lately.
Next Tuesday. It's going to be next Tuesday, 6:30 to 7:30. And Kathy, you know, I was going to bring that up. There was a time that some made it into primetime, the Flintstones with the Rubbles and the Flintstones, of course, and then the Jetsons that I loved, you know, Spacely Space Sprockets and Cogwell Cogs. And, but those were fabulous. Yeah. When were they in? That was like – was that 60s that they were in prime time?
Yeah, Flintstones, I believe, came out in 64 and ran through 67, if I'm not mistaken. And it's funny, and I talk a little bit about this in my program. I always thought that the Flintstones jumped the shark when Fred and Barney ran into that alien.
Kazoo, the mighty kazoo.
The great kazoo.
Yeah.
Yes, you know, jump the shark is like an expression about when the show starts going downhill because it was a nice program and you know, Pebbles and Bam Bam had already been born by then.
Right.
But everything, you know, it had some nice moments. Great Kazoo took them to the future and took them to Mars, and it just became completely ridiculous.
Yeah.
And completely, you know, I think it really went over the top, and I didn't like that. But the Flintstones was the first primetime cartoon, and the Jetsons soon thereafter came out. But, you know, wonderful stuff.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't know that the Flintstones was completely, completely based on a 1950s sitcom called The Honeymooners.
Oh, right.
The Ralph Cramden character was Fred, and the Ed Norton character was Barney, and they even stole some of the same plot lines, and they went to the bowling alley all the time and the pool hall. You know, so the Flintstones was based on The Honeymooners.
Oh, yes, it was.
And so there you go, a little bit of trivia for you.
Oh, I love it. All right, let's go to Marty in Waterbury. Hi, Marty. What do you got for us?
Hey, good morning. Good morning. I grew up in the 40s, and my favorite character on radio was the Green Hornet.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, and they certainly made a TV cartoon about the Green Hornet as well.
With Kato.
Rather short-lived, actually, but oh, great stuff. The Green Hornet, I'm a huge fan of the, not animation, but it's Batman. And I loved Batman when it came out. In 1965. And in fact, I was very disappointed when the Batman movies started coming out, you know, 15, 20 years ago, whatever it was, because I thought it was going to be like campy and funny, like the Batman TV show was. But anyway,
well, Marty might remember
Green Hornet actually showed up on they thought they were criminals. Batman and Robin thought they were criminals.
Yeah,
but the Green Hornet was in a couple episodes there of Batman.
Yeah, and Marty might remember preceding those 60 Batman shows, there were serials, black and white serials that you used to see at the movie theater of Batman. And those are incredible to watch. But any other favorites, Marty?
No, not right, that I can remember.
All right.
Anyway,
all
we
right.
just listened to the radio. We didn't have TV.
That's right.
That's your next book, Marty. Thanks, Marty, in Waterbury. Marty, my guest, Marty, let's see. Now, what happened? When did Saturday morning cartoons, you know, as a thing, because it was, you know, like a ceremony for us. When did that start to peter out?
Well, I think, you know, I think, you know, the advent of cable television really took a hit then. For sure, in like 79, 80, 81, 82, around that time.
Right.
And I know that they were, that the Saturday morning lineup had been cut down quite a bit. There was no more 4 hours of cartoons, you know, by the late 70s.
Yeah.
Nickelodeon came around and the Cartoon Network came around eventually and people could watch. You know, they had the VHS tapes and things, and
right.
So there wasn't really a demand. The advertising ended up, you know, diminishing for the Saturday morning cartoons because there were so many other options for people to watch cartoons on VHS or on the cable networks and everything. So I would say, without knowing for, you know, the exact year, I would probably say the early 80s.
Interesting. All right. We heard from DJ. He said, a question about Clutch Cargo. He had moving lips superimposed over a static image of his head. What was that? Always wondered about that. That was a little different from the other animation. You know, his face would kind of stay still and his lips would move. Clutch Cargo, right?
I know. They went over the third wall or whatever that
right.
is. I don't really know, and I know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
But I don't really know you know, the background on that.
Yeah. I watched Clutch Cargo, but it was not it wasn't the sexiest thing you have ever watched. It was, you know, it was kind of stilted, and the storylines were okay. I don't know why I ever watched, but, you know,
well,
it was,
you know,
a cartoon.
And the thing was about television animation when it came around. And by the way, your audience might be interested to know, the very first television cartoon character was named Crusader Rabbit.
Oh, yeah, Crusader
Rabbit. He was created in 1949. He was actually the first, and he's in the book. He's a good cartoon character.
Yeah.
Crusader Rabbit. But anyway, the animation when television began doing cartoons, the animation suffered quite a bit because, animators had to work so much faster. They had to create new cartoons every day or every week. And so they didn't have the time to put as much depth into the animation. You'll see, like, even Bullwinkle, Rocky and Bullwinkle, those are very simply drawn characters.
Yeah.
And the whole thing was very simply drawn. But there were one, that doesn't mean there weren't great, great, wonderful, wonderful characters. Bullwinkle happens to be my very favorite cartoon character from the, I have him ranked number 7 in my book of greatest cartoon characters ever.
Yeah.
He's, you know, one of my favorites, even though they were very simply drawn. He's my favorite cartoon character from the television generation. But that's what, you know, you were talking about with Clutch Cargo and other cartoon characters early in the television days. They weren't, you know, look at South Park, even.
You're right.
You know, very, very simply drawn stuff.
Yeah, it doesn't take much. Welcome back to People's Pet Shop. No, Vermont Viewpoint. We've got Arthur Marty Gitlin here talking about 100 favorite cartoon characters of all time. to ask Marty about one that you remember. We're at 802-244-1777, 877-291-8255. Take our advice at any price. A gorilla like Magilla is awfully nice. All right. We're going to get to a few more things, but our Kaya here, Marty has got a few things. She's just been has been lodged loose. She says, first of all, stupid me didn't get Bullwinkle until I was about 30 years old. Then it became hysterical to me. And that was like most of us with that and Bugs Bunny.
The Cold War. They actually you know, made references of the Cold War with Boris and Natasha, and that went over the heads of kids.
Sure.
You know?
Absolutely. As she's grown up, she's loved Doug, good old Doug Funny, with his dog Pork Chops, his girlfriend Patty Mayonnaise, and friend Skeeter. She brings up Inspector Gadget, Pinky the Brain, a lot of good ones there. Well, let me ask you, Marty, if we could dig up episodes of a cartoon from your past for you to watch, even if you can't remember the name, because there are some like that, I think, because back in the day, they came up with these kooky superheroes, like in the 60s, that I loved, and I can't remember what they were, but they'd be on for a season or two and then be gone. But if you could, if we could find an episode of cartoons, a particular cartoon for you to watch, is there one that you would just love to see again?
Yeah. I liked Ricochet Rabbit.
Bing, bing, bing.
Bing, 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 Ricochet Rabbit, because one of the things that I liked was the contrast between Ricochet Rabbit and his sidekick, Deputy Droopalong, because he was, you know, Ricochet Rabbit was bing, bing, bing all around,
right.
You know, going 10,000 miles an hour, bouncing from rocks, and his,
right.
his, you know, with his, and he'd shoot his gun, and it would fly out and do all sorts of things.
Right.
But Deputy Droopalong, He was real super slow.
Yeah, he was.
And when he would shoot his gun, Deputy Droopalong, the bullet would come out, droop out, and start coughing. And the bullet would go and just fall to the ground.
Yes.
And I thought that was really clever. And I liked, you know, there were a lot of other Hanna-Barbera cartoons back then that were of the same ilk that I liked, you know, Touche Turtle and Dum Dum.
Yeah.
And the thing was, they all had sidekicks. And they were all, you know, wonderful sidekicks.
Yep.
Lippy the Lion and Hardy Har Har, and but you know, they had these wonderful sidekicks too.
Great stuff.
And you don't see those anymore. I think they're, you know, you can get them on DVD.
Hardy Har Har was a laughing hyena, but he had
who suffered from depression.
He was depressed, yes.
He suffered from depression. The laughing hyena suffered from depression and never laughed. And he would always go, "Oh me, oh my."
That's right.
Oh. He was always worried, you know.
Oh, that was gold. All right, let's take another call. We got Brian joining us from Eden. Hi, Brian. What's going on?
Hey. This is a great discussion.
It is.
I had to give a shout out for Professor Peabody.
Oh yeah, Mr. Peabody. Yep.
The Wayback Machine and Poindexter, I guess.
Yeah.
Sherman.
Peabody and Sherman.
Yeah. Peabody and Sherman. Yep.
Now, who was Mr. Poind? Who was Poindexter? Marty.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned Poindexter, and I'm trying to remember. That is a really good question.
Felix the Cat.
Felix the Cat. That's right. You're right. And Felix the Cat had a bag of tricks that he'd reach into. And then
he was with Felix the Cat. That is correct. Now I remember.
Yeah.
Poindexter was with Felix the Cat.
Right.
And Felix the Cat had his bag of tricks. And I, you know, maybe I don't remember correctly, but when I was a kid, I was waiting for him to pull out the bag of tricks, and I never saw the damn thing.
Oh, interesting.
I never saw him pull out his bag of tricks. I just never did.
Oh,
and I always remember wanting to see it and never, you know, because it was in the intro, you know, in his bag of tricks, and I never saw him use it.
Oh, interesting. I knew that he had one, but now that you mention it, I'm not sure. Wow.
He must have used it on occasion. I just must have missed it. That's all.
So there was Crazy Cat and what was the Crazy Cat and the Mouse? Ignatz the Mouse or something? Remember that one? Crazy Cat?
Ignatz. I think that might be right.
Yep. And then which turtle, was it Touche Turtle? No. Which turtle would be sent places and then Mr. Wizard would have to bring him back? He'd get in a jam and he would, Mr. Wizard.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Mr. Wizard, it is time for this turtle to come home.
Yes, that was on, an offshoot of,
I think it might have been the Bullwinkle series, the Jay Ward stuff, if I'm not mistaken.
No, I don't think so. I think it was a Tennessee Tuxedo character.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah, I think you're right.
And he would go, and he would want to visit these other times and places and things, and then he would learn his lesson he would
Tudor
learn his
the
lesson.
Turtle. Tudor Turtle.
What's that?
Tudor Turtle.
Tudor Turtle, yes. Yeah. Tudor Turtle. Okay, there you go.
It was a segment of King Leonardo.
Tennessee Tuxedo.
King Leonardo was what
King
it was.
King Leonardo, oh my God. Yeah, King Leonardo, holy moly.
Let me ask you, Marty.
And then there were the Hillbilly Bears that were in that, I believe, in the Leonardo offshoots, but I'm not really positive about that. I'm trying to remember. There were all sorts of different cartoons back then, and it boggles the mind. But I think,
Marty, when I retire, that's all I'm going to do. I'm just going to watch all the cartoons that were ever made through the 60s and 70s.
Right.
Just enjoy the heck
out of it. No kidding. And I'm trying. I'm freelancing here, but I think the Hillbilly Bears might have been a segment on. There was a show called the Adam Ant Show and Secret Squirrel.
Yeah.
I used to love those. I used to really watch those a lot. And I think the Hillbilly Bears might have been a segment on that.
Might have been Secret Squirrel with Morocco Mole.
Adam Ant. Yeah.
We've got about a minute left. What was the most fun part of putting this book together?
The reminiscing and working with Joe Wose on it. And it's funny because I'll never forget, we were putting together our top 100. We had to decide our list. Mm-hmm. And I told my co-author, I said, okay, so Bugs Bunny's number one, right? Let's move on. And he said, yes, Bugs Bunny's number one. Let's move on.
No doubt.
And I'll never forget that. It was like we never debated who was going to be the top cartoon character in our book. We were like, Bugs Bunny's number one, that's it.
Yeah.
And so that was, it was fun putting together our top 100, but we had to leave some characters out that we wanted to put in there, including Huckleberry Hound, which we talked about, which was a difficult choice to make. But, you're talking about evil characters and funny characters and superheroes over almost a 100-year period.
Right.
So there were thousands and thousands to choose from. And it was, it was a difficult thing, but the whole process was just a lot of fun. And then when I got to, I actually started writing the book, it was a blast to write. It really was. I wrote it. It only took, 6 to 8 months or so to write the whole thing because I had, of course, Joe's help with it.
Yeah.
And, so it was a project that was done rather quickly because, I had such passion for it. I just was like the whole day I'd be writing this book, I had other projects to do, but I always put that one first.
What a kick. All right. Next Tuesday evening from 6:30 to 7:30, Marty Gitlin, author of A Celebration of Animation, The 100 Greatest Cartoon Characters of All Time, will be talking all about the book. He'll be showing some cartoons. It will be with the Waterbury Public Library. So to watch it, you can go to waterburypubliclibrary.com/events. Marty, it was great having you on the show again. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And real quick, if you want to see the Celebration of Animation book, just go to Etsy.com. I can go to Amazon, but I prefer people go to Etsy.com.
Okay.
/Gitlin Books, G-I-T-L-I-N Books, all one word. Etsy.com/Gitlin Books, all one word. That's G-I-T-L-I-N, and they can check it out. And I also have a book about the history of the Boston Red Sox in there because I was a sports writer for many years.
You do. All right, we got to go. I'm Rick Sagari. I'll meet you back here tomorrow.